Scripture focuses on Matthew 20 today for Mother's Day, and I've entitled the sermon, Moms, What Do You Want from Jesus? Does anybody know what the word Winnipeg means? Has anybody ever been to Winnipeg? Okay. There might be some people out there praying that the Winnipeg, what do they call themselves? The Winnipeg Jets will do well in the NHL. That's National Hockey League. Anybody praying for the Winnipeg Jets? Okay. Really irrelevant thing. But you know, moms and dads, moms, we pray for all kinds of things for our kids, you know. Just help them pass this Chinese moksu, what do we call it, dictation, you know. Help them get through that. That is the hardest thing, you know, write the dictation stuff. And then if you're on the flip side of the coin, sometimes you might pray you help them get their English, right? You know, so we pray them through kindergarten, and then we pray that they'll behave themselves when they're teenagers and don't go wild, you know, and do crazy stuff that they shouldn't do. But then they become adults, and you keep praying for adult children. There's one mom that knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? So we keep praying for our adult children, right? And my mom, she went to be with the Lord in 2013, but she prayed for me when I was a young man, when I went off to graduate studies, and she would always call me, and on the weekly telephone conversation would see if her prayer had been answered. And I think you know what that prayer was, right? Have you found her yet? And she knew I was studying I did 5 years of graduate studies in two different schools in a Christian community. So I had all these sisters, right? Available sisters. And she said, have you found her yet? And it was about 3 years after asking that weekly question, I told her, Mom, you don't have to say that again. You know, I'm very comfortable with singlehood. Well, she might not have said that, but I doubt that she quit praying that, because a couple of weeks later after I told her that, I met Bonnie, and so there goes life. Praying for your adult children doesn't stop. But what do you pray for your adult children, you know? Well, we're going to come to an example of that, and this is the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Now, Mina, our worship leader today, her married name is Circlebot. So this would be like Mina sitting there, and there's Caleb and Micah, right? Not exactly, but anyway. This is the scene. This is really what happens. This is what we're told in Matthew 20, the real word of God here now. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she's going to ask him something. And she asked him for something, and he said to her, what do you want? Now, we might criticize what she's going to ask. That'll become more clear in just a minute. But that's the position Bonnie and I must take as adults of praying for our adult kids. And whether your child is just a newborn in your arms, you know, when that child gets that first fever, you remember, it just really upsets you. You don't know what's going on. Is he going to die? You know, what's happening? He's got a fever. You don't know what's happening, and you start to pray real hard. Then, well, it keeps going on until your children are adults, and here they're adults, and they're praying, you know. So that's the greatest position as parents. What you can do is what? Pray. And moms, thank God for praying moms. That's what many of you are. But he said to her, what do you want, Mrs. Zebedee? And she replies. And she said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. This is a carpenter's son who's the Messiah in the flesh, but she can't see the kingdom. I mean, he's just traveling around, and, you know, he's just a regular old guy with these 12 followers. I mean, she's got some eyes of faith. And we might say she's got a lot of nerve, a lot of gall to ask this, but now this isn't what the throne looks like in heaven, but basically, you know, Christ is enthroned, he's ruling, that's the picture. And on the left and right will be John and James. Those are the two names of the sons of Zebedee. That's her request. Jesus answered, "Sorry, Mrs. Z, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" What? Hold on a minute. Jesus, I'm talking about chairs, you know, thrones, not cups. What are you bringing cups into this discussion for? Well, Christ is referring to the cup of suffering. And it's this one that he's going to drink. He has to drink from it completely, the wrath of God that's going to be poured upon him on the cross. And we know that as the cup of the new covenant, which we celebrate, which is established in his blood, which was being poured out for you and me. And he's asking who? Well, look who responds. They said to him, I don't think it's mom and the two boys, but the two boys, James and John, respond. They say, "Hey, look, Jesus, we're able to drink from this cup of suffering. We know what you're talking about." Because he had been telling them, all the disciples, you know what, I'm gonna suffer, I'm going to die, but on the third day I'm going to raise from again dead. And they said, okay, we can do that. And what does Jesus say? You're right. You're going to drink from it. You're going to drink from this cup of suffering. And just to remind us of how the apostles died, most of them were either crucified, some were stoned, and as you see at number four there is James, son of Zebedee. He was beheaded. Speared to death, stoned to death, crucified. Peter crucified upside down. John's the only one here. John. But what suffering he must have gone through, being exiled for his faith, dying in old age on the island of Patmos. But he got that revelation, and he wrote the book of the Revelation. Yes, you will drink, and they did drink from that cup of suffering. But Jesus went on to say, but to sit at my right hand or at my left hand, you know, to be my the most powerful, closest to me, that's not for me to decide. That is left for the Father. And you and I today, we sit on planet Earth, we don't know who those people will be. You know, it could be one or two of those apostles, but it might be Elijah, it might be Moses, I don't know. It's not going to be James. There's going to be somebody of the Father's choosing. It's not for Christ to be concerned about such things. It's for the Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. Did anybody get mad this past week? Anybody get mad and angry? Something? Martin's the only one. Can you believe that? I don't believe that. I mean, did something really get your goat and you got really, really mad? I can't think of anything this week. Did I get mad this week? Oh, Ruth's nodding her head. Yeah, okay. I must have gotten mad at you. Was it interrupting me or something? Okay. Forgive me. Since we're doing some public. Okay. Anyway. Don't interrupt me. I'm too busy doing God's work, you know. Get indignant, you know. But these guys are getting indignant about what? How dare you, John and James? And I'm thinking to myself, at least they're interested. Even got their mother to go up there, right? Hey, Mom, if you go up there and bow down, maybe he'll listen to you, you know. They got some kind of spiritual ambition there, and you might judge that as being not so good. And so, got a picture of these disciples. What in the world? Did you hear what they just asked? They're angry. They're mad at the others. And so Jesus says, okay, let's calm down, everyone. Let's calm down. Come here, let me tell you something you need to understand. And so he talks to the 12. He called them to him, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. know any Gentile rulers? One's name begins with a T, ends with a P, has R-U-M-P, R-U-M in the middle. Then there's Xi Jinping, and then there's Kim Jong-un. I can't remember the guy in Venezuela. Yeah, shout it out. Philippines, Duarte. Nice little guys, you know? Very humble people. They lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. How many of you guys like the pigeons down in the plaza? You like those guys? The pigeons all over the place, you know. Reminds me of Mary Poppins, but you got to clean up the... Oh, never mind. Anyway, pigeons all over the place. There were a couple of pigeons down there the other day talking. One's a worker. He's got the little green hat on. And the guy with the... college graduate hat on, what do you call it, the graduation cap. That's a doctor pigeon. And you can see he's pretty smart because he's got a necklace of Greg around it. So he's pretty smart. He ate out then and put it on. Okay, so the guy says, what are other words for lording it over? And that means domineering, bullying, intimidate, put on airs, tyrannize, oppress, queen it over, browbeat, bulldoze, boss. Does that sound like your boss at work? This guy's got a white tie. So when you look at that stick figure, he's the boss at work, and there's the guy at work. Lording it over. I think we know what it means, right? It's not being respectful, and it's just using your authority, position of authority, to get your demands done. I'm the pastor guy, and Evelyn's this minister, director of ministries person, and when I say snap, she jumps, right? No. She's actually Chris's boss, and he tells Chris to jump, he jumps. But I think you know what I mean. You've been in this position, it's not comfortable. And it's the natural way a lot of guys rule authority. They don't see it from a servant perspective, which we're going towards, but see it more from a dictator type of position. Now, many of you are finding yourself in supervisory roles. And so may the word of the Lord speak to your heart. How do you lead? In the workplace, in the home. So this is, I have no idea what Gentile nation this is, but these guys bowing down seem to say, okay, you we'll do whatever you say. So maybe he's a good ruler, maybe he's not, but anyway, you can see he's the Lord over these guys by the way they're approaching him. But Jesus says, now listen, 12, I know you're kind of upset with James and John, their mom and all that, but look, whoever would be great among you, you 12 guys, whoever going to be great among you 12 people, must be your servant. Okay? Servant. 12 of us, I got to be the servant. Now, what would I do for 12 disciples? Well, help out with meals, clean up. Later on, Christ is going to show us how to wash feet and all that. You know, maybe I can help out with, you know, clean up feet. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. So we got these 10 disciples here. They're following. Who wants to be number one? You know, if you want to be number one, now you got to be a slave, and that means when these guys ask you to do something, you really do it. You're thinking that for the total good of these, and you're always working and serving them. But the catcher here is in verse 28, even as the Son of Man. Now, who's the Son of Man? Jesus, right. So Jesus uses this term more than any other term, or uses it quite frequently to describe himself. The Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man. Came not to be served, but to serve. Now, I guarantee you, if President Trump or Xi Jinping walked into this church, I would do everything in my power to make sure they're comfortable. Can I get you a drink of water? Is there anything you need that I can help you with? You know, I would honor them because they are world rulers. I wouldn't say anything. I'd let them initiate the conversation. I would treat them with great respect. And if they arrived here, they'd probably arrive with their secret services, their protection crew, their black cars that cost more than you and I could imagine, that are bulletproof, bombproof, everything else. They're all out there, you know, that's how they arrive. But we're talking about the creator of the universe, how he arrived, born of the Virgin Mary, had a father who was a carpenter, never owned a house, didn't have a pillow to lay his head on. And he says, look, I want you guys to be great. I want you to be number one, being servants and slaves, but just like I am. See, keep that in mind now. I didn't come here to demand people bow at my feet and worship. No, no. Mrs. Z, she took the own initiative because she knows something is happening in her life and in her children's lives, that they would leave their father's fishing business and come follow me. So she probably snuck along beside and see what in the world is going on. This is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the answer of Isaiah, who would come, the suffering servant, is here. So look, disciples, what you got to think about when you're going to be look at leadership or being great, you have to be like me, who came not to serve, but to serve, but not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom. Now, just to put the words together and help us get the picture, the 12, great as a servant. It's where we get the word diakonos or deacon. There's some churches set up their church government where we don't use elders and we just call our leaders deacons, meaning that they are the people who serve. And so an elder is supposed to be reflecting that servanthood spirit, leading by servant example. First comes from the Greek word prontos. Great is mega whatever, and then prontos, the number one, the chief, if sometimes translated, is going to be a slave. And this is your doulos. This is a person who has given his whole life to slavery, has agreed to do it, to be the slave. So this is what you got to do if you want to be a servant leader. And he said, look at me, I'm, you know, the Son of Man. I've come here in answer to prophecies, and I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God, who has to be crucified, dead, buried, raised from the dead. But I'm a servant. You know, Jesus didn't go say, hey, I'm the Messiah. I'm going to go die on the cross for you guys. Hey, bow down, bring some money, you know. No. He did what? He taught truth. He helped people understand the ways of God and how we are supposed to live as people on the planet. All of that was in the Old Covenant scriptures. But he expounded that more and showed that, and the Sermon on the Mount is one of the greatest amplifications of what it means to truly love people, to love God. He says, look at me, you know, I'm a servant. I've been teaching people, but I don't only teach people. I get moved and I have compassion on those who are hungry. I get moved and I have compassion on those who suffer from disease. I get moved and I have compassion on those who have demon possession, and I bring great healing. And I serve them. I'm never too busy. Even the kids. Don't stop those kids. Bring those kids here. I want to bless them, hold them in my arms. Look at me. I'm a servant. But it's all about Jesus. The slave bit. It's all about Jesus. There's no way you and I can get from where we are on planet Earth as sinful people and become friends with God unless we have somebody to carry us to Him. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life, shed His blood, to take us from where we are here to where we're now friends with God. And you know, we could all die today, bomb dropped on us, and tomorrow, where are we? Blink of an eye, we're in paradise. We have nothing to worry about. Remember our words, Monique, I'm looking at you right now. We got purpose. We've got peace. We've got assurance. That's what true religion's all about. And we couldn't get that in our own effort. No, we needed the Christ to die for us, to bring us to God. So he gave his life as a ransom. I don't know why, but I always watch these shoot 'em up movies and stuff, and you know, the guys, you know, what was it, Taken? There's three of these Taken movies, you know, and you know, the ransom is, I'm not gonna give you any ransom, I'm gonna go kill you, you know. It's kind of, but Jesus ransoms people not with money and not by getting revenge. That is coming, by the way, judgment. But the good news is there's still time to repent. But Jesus gave his own life. And that's the marvel. Who can make up a story like this? God loves his creation who's in rebellion, but he comes back and he buys him back through his own death. No one can make that story up. Okay, so this is what, keep this in mind. Keep your eyes on me as you think about servant leadership. Martin Luther King Jr. said, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. There's a ring of truth in that. It's not the complete truth. Many of us choose to serve others and don't think just only of ourselves. Many of us do that. But to have the power to do that in a loving way, in a consistent way, day in and day out. I need something. I don't know about you, but I think you do too, and it's called Holy Spirit. I need to appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit that I won't be so selfish, and I will think of Ruth and her needs, think of Bonnie and her needs, not just this ministry thing that I do. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive. Perhaps even forgive my boss at the office who lords it over me. So everybody can be great because everybody can serve. There's a ring of truth in that. So servanthood is good. And to a certain degree, we can accomplish that as no matter who we are. But to do that as Christians, we need Holy Spirit. Okay, Mom, back to my original question. What do you want from Jesus? For your children. There could be a few mothers who don't have children here, okay? That's all right. You might just ask yourself, what do you want from Jesus? I like kids, if you don't mind. Well, whatever it is, talk to him. What do you want from... But the answer I'm getting at here is, I want my children to be great servants. So we always tease about, what do we call them? Dragon moms or something like that? Tiger moms, not dragon. That's I get that mixed up. It's some kind of Asian thing, right? So, tiger moms. We're gonna be tiger moms, you know. And you mean okay? Yeah. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock we go to Mandarin. At 3 we got mass, and at 6 o'clock we got our science revision. Okay. And in the meantime, I want you to do your ballerina gymnastics, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So you got all these things that you've got scheduled for your kids throughout the week, you know, and you're trying to give them exposure and variety and make them a well balanced child and 12 easy steps. So in other words, that's okay. But I'm praying that you want Jesus to make your children great servants. Be concerned about their character becoming Christ-like. Because you know what? this whole thing I just mentioned, you know, as true religion, as a true church, we should have a purpose. We know we're on this planet. We're to take care of it. And while we're taking care of it, we do the Great Commission. We make disciples of all the nations. And while we're making disciples and taking care of the planet in a way that pleases God and all this kind of stuff, we do so out of love with people that we're interacting with. Okay? That's kind of our calling on life as Christians. And when we know that, we've got this purpose. And we have this peace because I know that I can really do what I'm called to do because He gives me the power, not to just the freedom to do what pleases Him. And that is even praying for my children's character development. Be concerned about that, not to be over concerned about their academic accomplishment or their athletic accomplishment or whatever. Yeah, I want my children to be great servants, because when it all comes down to it, in the end, they're going to stand before the Creator, their Savior, and He's going to say, well done, you know? And He says, because you've been faithful in these, faithful in these things, then I'm going to put you in charge of this stuff. And faithful in this bit is what? Servant leadership, thinking of other people. So two implications for us. Both mom and dad, by God's grace, should strive to model servant leadership in the home. Our children are watching how we treat each other, moms and dads, you know. Hey, Bonnie, I don't do dishes. That's ladies' work. Give me the remote. It's good in to include kids in the household chores. It's not just the domestic person's work. Both mom and dad, by God's grace, should strive to model servant leadership in the home. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. This one, is just amplify it a little bit. I mentioned to it earlier. Academic, athletic, professional, and all other worldly successes of our children are of little value without a servant attitude. There's our. I was looking for our hockey players, so very, very grateful for Trevor and Aaron's little eldest son. Eli loves ice hockey, and he plays for a team organization league called Typhoons, which my child David now will be 30. His birthday, I think. David is he 29 in January. He'll be 30 in January, right? So David, when he was 5, he started. You know, we. But to see pictures of little Aaron holding his trophy, you know, that's super. That's what Winnipeg is going to do, by the way. They're going to hold this big. Anyway, we got this trophy, and it's great. That's the way it's his bent is towards athletics, and you want to see him do well in that. But you know, really praying, Eli, you'll be such a help to these other guys on the team who don't really skate as well. You'll help these other guys learn how to do a slap shot. You know, is he doing a good slap shot yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you get the wrist shot. That's your wrist is kind of like this. But a slap shot. And when you get that down, it's like, man, I've gone through the rite of manhood. I can do a slap shot. Other guy, you don't have it. Okay. What's mine? But no. Whatever it is, and you've got lovely children, all of you do. Some of them have fantastic artistic gifts. And to see Ruth yesterday with 6 little kids around the table, and teaching them art. She got paid for it, yeah, but I mean, still. Serving kids. That's not my idea of what I'd like to do. 6 kids, let's come over and have an art party, you know? But whatever it might be. Your skill sets, your accomplishments, is to serve others. A servant attitude. moms, without listing names, I, you know, we do have this prayer thing before service over here. It's on the other side of this wall. So we start about usually we're getting cranked up about 9:20, 9:30 to a little bit before 10. But this morning, I'm pretty grateful that I was the only one there for a few minutes. And then Bob McLeod came and joined me. It was kind of scarce numbers. But you know what I could do this morning? I could thank God out loud, by name. Women who are sitting in the seats in front of me, who are servants. We are a blessed church because people have called it. We're not here to be served, but to serve. This church will grow. God will bless Danny and Laura as long as that servant spirit is here. Because we know we've tasted greatness as being like the Master and filled with His Spirit. I don't think of my needs. I think of the needs of other people. And so, in my solitary prayer, I could name out names. I can't do that right here. Because I might not name yours. I might name some people, I just forget it. But yet, it's true. We want to be great. So Jesus, just like Mrs. Z bowed at your feet, we bow at your feet and say, please make us a great people. I think that's my last slide. Hey, we might get out early. Let's pray. Father, it is Mother's Day, and we thank you for that. And I've kind of used this exhortation of you to John and James and to their mom was, true greatness is through being a servant. And I do rejoice in the servant spirit I see here among many of our sisters and our women who love you. And they're very much giving to the church family, giving to those who don't know you yet in Discovery Bay. And Lord, our collective prayer is that somehow use us as dads and moms in the household to model this servant leadership. And somehow our kids will grab it that to be like Jesus is really the greatest thing to be. But that's the stuff that lasts for eternity. And so, Lord, our children are very gifted. They're talented in different ways. Some of them are on the springboard of adult. Some will be are finishing their academic endeavors, and others are just beginning, but may they use all their worldly successes in serving others in a way to reflect their love for Christ, the Son of Man. So I thank you, and this is my Mother's Day prayer for me and for my sisters and brothers at DBICC. It's in Christ's name I pray.
Amen.
Thank you.